ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम रीड फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट नंबर 5। This chapter is entitled as The Killing of Dhenuka, the Ass Demon. Aho Ami Deva Varamararchitam पदाम्बुजं ते समना पलारणम्। नमन्त उपादाय सिकाभीर आत्मना तमोपहत्ये तरुजन्म यत्कृतम्। श्री भगवानुवाच अहो अमी देव वरामरार्चितम् पादाम्बुजं ते सुमनः फलार्हणम्। नमन्त्युपादाय शिकाभिरात्मना तमोपहत्ये तरुजन्म यत्कृत। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद हिज सर्वेंट सॉन्ग्स। द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड सेड, ओ ग्रेटेस्ट ऑफ लॉर्ड्स, जस्ट सी हाउ दीज ट्रीज आर बोइंग देयर हेड्स एट योर लोटस फीट विच आर वर्शिपेबल बाय द इमॉर्टल डेमिगॉड्स। The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate their dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. Purport. The trees of Vrindavan were thinking that because of past offenses, they had now taken birth as trees, and being immovable, could not accompany Lord Krishna in his wanderings throughout the Vrindavan area. In fact, all the creatures of Vrindavan, including the trees and cows, were great souls who could personally associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of ecstatic sentiments of separation, the trees considered themselves in ignorance and thus tried to purify themselves by bowing down at the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. Lord Krishna, understanding their mentality, simultaneously glanced at them with affection and praised their devotional service before his older brother Balaram. He said we had not taken it. The primeval lord saw that the stately trees with their beautiful reddish buds and their heavy burden of fruits and flowers were bending down to touch his feet with the tips of their branches. Thus he smiled gently and addressed his elder brother. The purport here is the words mudha smayan eva indicate that Lord Krishna was in joking mood. He knew that the trees were actually bowing down to worship him. But in the following verse, the Lord, speaking in friendly, light-hearted mood, gives the credit to his brother Balaram. Once again the verse, the Supreme Personality of God had said, O greatest of lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods. The trees are offering you the fruits and flowers to eradicate the dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. Very relevant verse which glorifies the trees which produce fruits and flowers. Therefore, whenever Prabhupada would travel and he would see the trees without giving fruits and flowers, decoration trees, they are useless because they are not doing anything. So here Krishna is glorifying the trees not only because they have something on their trees, because they want to give. And Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was able to understand that these trees want to offer fruits and flowers to Krishna and Balaram and his friends. And in this way, they wanted to undo their previous burden of their bad karma by being positive, to offer something to Krishna. And because they wanted to offer Krishna, Krishna's friends in the very beginning, they confessed to the Lord as if they were actually hungry. Because since they grew up beyond their 3 to 5 years old, they were allowed to go to the forest which is farther away from their homes. So naturally, Krishna's friends, when they came in the middle of the forest, they felt hungry and they wanted to eat something. And there was nothing to eat in regards to cooked food. So they got to know about this trees of Talavan forest. And because the breeze carried the fragrance of those fruits, unfortunately or fortunately, the breeze was moving towards their direction only. So the smell, the fragrance, increased their hunger. If you are hungry and in a distant place, you experience, you know, nice fragrant coming from a kitchen, you become more restless and you are not allowed to eat now. So therefore they pleaded with Krishna and Balaram that, please, you know, we are experiencing this fragrance. Why can't you take us there and provide us these fruits? And Prabhupada in Krishna book and other acharyas explain, in fact, in the name of they being hungry, they wanted Krishna and Balaram to enjoy. And of course they would also enjoy with Krishna and Balaram. They would cooperate in their enjoyment. So they insisted to go to that forest. And here so many things are involved. You know, the friends wanted to serve Krishna, and Krishna could understand as trees wanted to offer something to Krishna himself, therefore they were bowing down to reciprocate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with Balaramji and with his friends, came to this Talavan forest. I remember when this small little Krishna came, this Dhenukasur pastime. If you ask the small children which one you like, they mostly say Dhenukasur. Because it's, as Prabhupada explains, in this pastime, Krishna is addressing Balaramji with light-heartedness, in a joking mood. Therefore, humor and light-heartedness is part of spiritual practice. Just being grave all the time is very boring, very destructive. So here Krishna is very light-hearted and he wants to reciprocate with all the trees and the children. And he also wanted to reciprocate with Dhenukasur also. Ye yathamam prapadyante. That Dhenukasur was guarding that forest. One poet, he says, that just see the mentality of the people who do not want to live a natural life. The fruits are, one time one devotee was mentioning, when some of the devotees went to his mango grove, thousands of mango trees. When there are thousands of mango trees and there are hundreds and thousands of mangoes on every tree, and you only few devotees go to your garden, you want to serve, you want to see that they eat a lot of fruits. So this devotee was sharing. He said, in this mango grove, when they were given fruits, the owner, the host said, don't eat the full fruit. Thoda kha aur phek do. He said, you just eat little bit and throw and eat the next fruit. And this devotee said, Prabhu, how can I waste fruits? He said, nothing is wasted. Because if you eat half, that way you can enjoy more fruits, more flavors. And whatever you don't eat, Bhumi Devi will consume it. She will consume. Because there is a beautiful cycle. The land becomes more fertile. What we consider to be waste in the village is not a waste, because it is going in the land. He said, don't worry, it is not a waste. Because anyway, these fruits will not, I can't remove all the fruits, so at least you eat more. And therefore, he would say, eat a little bit. But this Dhenukasura was guarding this entire forest, and unfortunately they would not eat the fruits. Consciously, they would not eat those fruits, rather they would make them rot so that they can create a nectar drink, which they call, no? So that they can enjoy. They were supplying this nectar to Kamsa. So therefore, when Krishna and Balaram went to those forests, in the villages you don't have to ask. If the tree is there, you pluck the fruits, you pluck the flower, nobody bothers. So therefore, Krishna and Balaram, following the village culture, nowadays you can't do that. Even if you touch somebody else's tree, they can sue you. Because fruits, if you see another from another perspective in Gita, why Krishna says, patram pushpam phalam toyam? Is he particularly attached to patram pushpam phalam toyam? You know, offer me fruits, water and flowers, because they're accessible. There are plenty. So Krishna is trying to make his devotional service easy for us so that we don't have to struggle. Oh, what should I offer? If Krishna had said, I only want golden flower, I only take mangoes from the heavenly planets, nothing less than a Parijat flower from Indra's garden, who will fight Indra? No. So if Krishna says like that, makes his bhakti, makes the ingredient which we are supposed to offer it to Krishna extremely difficult, then we don't want to approach the Lord. So when Krishna says that patram pushpam phalam toyam, these are so abundant. We can see it here. Like I remember one Slovenian devotee had come about 4 or 5 years back for this flower festival. And he saw tons of flowers. And I said, you want to reproduce or you want to do it in your country also? He said, no, I need to sell my temple. Because one flower cost $5. You know, one special flower. So only occasionally when there is a big festival, we offer garlands to the deities. So is it that their worship is incomplete? No, whatever is available according to that place, one should offer to Krishna. If it is not there, it is not there, their worship is incomplete. So because the flowers are in abundance, water is in abundance, fruits are in abundance, so Krishna is speaking in Vrindavan. He spoke this to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. You know, but he was talking generally. Because this is accessible, you can offer it to me. In fact, another devotee in South Indian tradition, he mentions that there are certain rules what flowers you cannot offer to Krishna. It is said that those flower trees or bushes which have thorns should not be offered to Krishna. Why like that? Is there anything wrong with those flowers? He said there is nothing wrong in those flowers. But because Krishna is thinking if you go to pluck those flowers, they may hurt your finger. So therefore don't offer them. So he is extremely careful about his devotee. So therefore when Krishna and Balaram went to this forest, they didn't have to ask anybody's permission to pluck the flowers or fruits. Because there were plenty. Just taking how much Krishna's friends and Balaram and Krishna would eat. No, he was not exhibiting his Vishwarupa form where he would consume the entire world. You know, he was a small baby. So naturally they would only take little fruits. And Krishna came to Dhenukasura's garden without even called for. How fortunate that demon was, but how unfortunate he was, he could not recognize the heart of the Lord. Krishna came there without asking. We are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We are doing so much of devotional service, hoping that Krishna will accept. We chant, hoping Krishna comes, but sleep comes. You know, we hope, you know, we feel happiness by chanting Hare Krishna. We feel bold. We are supposed to feel light-hearted, feel enlightened. but we feel burdened. We are trying so that Krishna can come. We are failing in inviting Krishna, but here Krishna was coming to Dhenukasura's garden without being asked for. Just imagine your very dear friend or your own family members, your mother, your father, or your child. They come to your home, and if you know they are coming, naturally you cook nice feast. Right. And then when they eat, in fact, Prabhupada explains in one place, he said, how do you know somebody is very close to you? He says, it is based upon when you go to their home, do you eat or not? If you don't eat, he gives the example that the big landlords in Kolkata, in Bengal, they would invite their friends and cook big feast. But sometime because of the distinction between caste, you know, some friends would not take there. They would be nice, but they would not take food. Then you realize, okay, you know, they are good friends, but still they are not able to enjoy what we have cooked. But on the other hand, if somebody is very close, he comes to your home, and you also believe that he is very close to you, and then he goes and straight goes to the kitchen and eats something from your kitchen, and he says, wow, such a wonderful dish. You feel happy. So similarly, Krishna came to Dhenukasura's garden, and Balaramji, exhibiting his power, he just shook the tree. And the trees were, now here trees were, rather than offering flower, they were offering fruits. You see, in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, and in Mahabharata and other scriptures, the concept of offering flowers, flower petals to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to say that, oh Lord, you are victorious. And we celebrate your victory not by throwing empty bottles in the stadium. That is how the modern world, you know. Therefore, you know, they have all kind of nets so that the fans should not throw empty bottles. You know, I don't know what they throw. But here, whenever Krishna is victorious or Krishna's devotees are victorious, or where they achieve perfection in life, when Bhishma Deva was going back to Godhead, you know, he performed devotional service and the Supreme Lord came there. When Krishna came along with the Pandavas and all the rishis, when Bhishma was going back, what happened? All the demigods, you know, to convey their happiness, their congratulation to Bhishma Dev, he was dying. In his death also, he was experiencing the congratulation of the demigods. Victory to Bhishma Dev, because you are going back to Godhead. Similarly, the devotees also, whenever Krishna performs certain pastimes, especially when he conquers the demons, when he kills the demons, then what do the devotees do? They shower flowers. Or when a devotee takes a great vow, like Bali Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was also a demon, and Krishna came without being asked for. In fact, he appeared. Just imagine what a family of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. You know, not only saintly people were coming, avatars were coming. No, Lord Narsingdev came, Varahadev came, Kurmadev came, Dhanvantari came for their family only, Bali Maharaj. And then Vamandev came. So many avatars came for one family. And therefore, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was listening to this story, he felt a little discouraged. Oh my God, you know, this family is so great, so many avatars are coming. And therefore, to pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj, Narad Muni said, oh Yudhishthira, you are also extremely fortunate. Why? Because Krishna, who is so much sought by all the great demigods and the sages, and the sages go to the forest to perform meditation, but that very Lord is staying in your home as your guest, as your friend, and performing all kinds of menial activities. How fortunate you are. He pacified, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj. So we see here Dhenukasur had this opportunity, but he would not utilize that opportunity. when Krishna shook the tree. So that Bali Maharaj also, when he had taken a vow, it is explained that immediately all the demigods started showering flowers because he is taking a great vow, which was pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and pleasing to the universe. But Dhenukasur, he did not appreciate Balramji. The sight, can you imagine somebody shakes the tree? You know, tal fruits, they're not very easy to bring them down. They're like mini coconut trees, they come from the same family. You know, we can't shake coconut tree. When you try to shake coconut tree, we'll be shaking. No fruits will fall, no coconut will fall. And we can try tal fruits also. You can try even the betel nut trees also. They're very thin, but you can't bring them down. There are different kind of instrument to climb the trees nowadays. People don't know how to climb. They have, if you go to Kerala, you know, there are different machines people have made to climb the trees. So Balramji didn't have to do it. The sight of somebody shaking the tree and the fruits falling from there, such a beautiful sight. For that itself, we should give so much fruits to Krishna Balram. Free exhibition of their valor and power. But Dhenukasur could not appreciate that. He became extremely angry and he charged at Balram. Very amusing how he came, charging at Balram to kick Balramji. Because he was an ass, he charged. You know, why you charge? Because the vacuum created, the force created, can help you to give a powerful kick. So he did that, but then he stopped. And then he turned around. And with his hind leg, he hit on the chest of Balramji. And Balramji being very powerful, and just now Krishna had praised Balramji, you know, of his greatness. And here is this ass demon coming to charge Balramji. Balramji certainly did not appreciate that. He had appreciated the glorification of Krishna. Even for God, like Balramji, you know, material world is very dual world. Some praise and some kick. So therefore what Balramji did, he grabbed Dhenukasur and he continued to exhibit his power and he just whirled him around. And Prabhupada explained, just because of moving him around, you know, somebody moves you, if Balramji moves any one of us, he doesn't have to throw. Throwing is only a detail. Death, we die when we move only. So Dhenukasur, for practical purpose, he was already dead. What happened was simply the exhibition of Balramji's more power. He threw him in one of the trees. And then other demons followed. They wanted to follow in the footsteps of their Mahajan, Dhenukasur. That, oh, you know, we see that whether it is Hiranyakashipu and his followers, whether it is Kamsa and his brothers, whether it is the wrestlers or their followers, or whether it is Dhenukasur or his followers, or whether it is in the Mahabharata war, Kaurava's army, even though they are seeing Kurus getting killed, but what are they doing? They are entering into the same zone where death is guaranteed. Therefore, even experienced people don't learn. Madarte taktva jivita. Duryodhan said, all these people have lined up. They are there to die for my sake. And they just fulfilled his words. So when Dhenukasur was thrown on the tree, he died. And other demons, other ass demons, they charged towards Krishna and Balram. So Krishna and Balram had come to enjoy fruits, but they never thought that they are supposed to also exhibit their power. And they exhibited the power. Same style. You know, Balramji's style, Krishna also did. They would take the demons, the ass, and whirl them around like a shot put throw and throw them on the tree. No? And hundreds of demons, all colorful demons, Prabhupada explains in Krishna book, that created a panoramic scene. You know, and the demons, because they were on the, they landed on the trees, and these trees are quite light trees. You know, the trees were also falling one after another. Like in our childhood, we used to play with this empty cigarette pack. Almost everybody has played, right? You just touch one, It's a very good sign. All the packs would fall. So similarly, all the trees were falling down. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that unfortunately, because these fruits were tainted with blood of the demons, Krishna came to enjoy. More than tainted with bloods, it was tainted with wanting not to give to Krishna. So even though they came there, according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, they would not eat those fruits. The fruits were wasted. In fact, that is what happens when we don't want to offer. Recently, one of our devotees is getting trained up to be a teacher. And he's getting trained in one school. And he was mentioning, he said, Prabhuji, you know what? Their underlying principle of their school, the mission statement, they have not written it down, but this is known for everybody. Very powerful statement. He said, the underlying principle of that school is what they want to teach children, not only just writing, reading, you know, some rhyming. He said, the underlying principle of that school is selfless service with gratitude. No? Selfless service with gratitude. Those who do service, you know, they expect that you should be grateful to me. This is not bhakti. Here, that one should serve others, but while serving, one who is serving others should have gratitude. It is not other way around. Other way also should be, but one who is serving, he is experiencing that I got this opportunity to serve others. Krishna, Krishna's devotees, and also anyone who needs anything from anybody, when he is given that service, I get to serve. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple, one who gave all that money to build that Bagh Bazar temple. If you read his poem, he wrote a small poem to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In that poem he says, Jagabandhu, he said, my dear Gurudev, what is there with me? I have nothing with me. Whatever belongs to me is all belongs to you. What belongs to me is simply an attitude of service. Another devotee, one Punjabi, big landlord, when Saraswati Thakur was coming from distant, he saw his spiritual master come. And you know, Punjabis are well dressed. They look tall, like a royal person. So when he saw Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur from distance, and Saraswati Thakur, you know, was happy to see him, and this disciple was very happy to see his Guru Maharaj, spontaneously, without considering where he was standing, you know, what is the ground, he just offered prostrated obeisances to Saraswati Thakur. And Saraswati Thakur was shocked. He didn't expect him to, you know, soil his clothes, you know, Punjabi clothes. When you offer obeisances in the soil, what happens? All the dress is completely dirty. And he got up and Saraswati Thakur said, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you soiling your clothes? So then this devotee said, Guru Maharaj, if I become stingy, even for this I am stingy, what is the point of my life? If I cannot even offer an obeisances, I cannot do this much. And same thing in the Bhagavatam, we see Bali Maharaj, how beautifully explains to, when the story is over. In fact, Krishna has captured, Vamandev has captured Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is tied with the Varuna rope. And then Lord is again, he's light-hearted here. Vamandev is light-hearted, he has captured Bali Maharaj and he's joking with Bali Maharaj. Hey, come on, you told me that you'll give 3 steps of land. And you couldn't give the third step. What's going to happen with your promise? He's publicly humiliating. You know, joking. Like Prabhupada explains, when Draupadi laughed at Duryodhan, he said, joking is normal. Why one should take it seriously? But Duryodhan did not appreciate humor. So he took it very seriously and then the entire disrobing of Draupadi happened. So therefore, Lord Vamandev was playing around with Bali Maharaj, joking him, how will you fulfill? And then Vamandev and Bali Maharaj also said, my dear Lord, I know the parents do punish their children for their wrong behavior. but not like this. They don't punish like this. But since it is coming from you, since this punishment is coming from you, my dear Lord, I will take it as an exalted one. So Bali Maharaj was also equally reciprocating with Krishna's jokes. And then Brahmaji could not stand this. Brahmaji, the creator of the universe, he couldn't see. And he just spoke to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, my dear Lord, he said, what is this? He said, this Bali Maharaj has given everything to you. And your nature, as far as I know, since I am the creator, I know, I've experienced how you deal with your devotees, that I know you very well, that even if somebody offers you flower, not even a flower, flower bud. A flower bud means which is not completely blown. When somebody offers you a flower bud and little water and little dhruva, dhruvankurair, he said, somebody offers you that, you are extremely, immensely satisfied, and this Bali Maharaj has done everything, and you are, what is this? Brahmaji could not stand the way Lord Vishnu was treating with Vamandev, with Bali Maharaj. He just blurted it out. And eventually, what happened? When Krishna did reciprocate with Bali Maharaj, which he was already doing, but from the external point of view, what did Bali Maharaj say? Bali Maharaj said, my dear Lord, when you came to my assembly in the place where we perform yajna, he said, I wanted to offer my obeisances to you. A very sweet part of the Bhagavatam. I wanted to offer my obeisances to you, but because I was surrounded by these demons, I was not able to physically offer my obeisances. Sometime, certain situations hold us not to do what we usually do. No. It is but natural that if we try to do everything everywhere, we create a social unrest. One time when Prabhupada was going back to from one place to another place in America, one devotee, he saw, oh, Prabhupada is our spiritual master, he's a great guru. Why should he sit on somebody else's seat? So this devotee brought Simhasan, the Vyasasan from the temple, to the airport. Can you imagine? And Prabhupada looked, he said, what are you doing? He said, be normal. This is abnormalcy, that you're bringing the Vyasasan in the public place. It is not right. He said, take it away. And he sat like a regular person, being normal. So here Bali Maharaj, seeing the prevalent culture of not offering obeisances to Lord Vishnu, to offer obeisances was not normal. So he did not do it. But he did. How he did? He did his obeisances to Lord Vishnu simply within his mind. My obeisances to you. And nobody saw that. As Krishna was able to understand the feelings of the trees. Nowadays, there are so many books written, non-violent communication, this communication, that communication. The modern human being has to be told how to communicate because he doesn't understand. He has to be repeatedly told. So gross. But in the spiritual circle, just the glance, the sound vibration, I was just reading, para, paschanti, madhyama and vaikari. Now vaikari is actually gross words spoken to others. Paschanti means what? Simply by glancing, they can understand. Lord Ram, when he would glance at Lakshman, Lakshman don't understand what Ram is wanting to say. No need to speak. Why? Because the communication was so fine that you don't have to repeat many times. Right. So Bali Maharaj and here Krishna saw the trees and he realized, okay, this tree wants to offer something to me. Bali Maharaj, he didn't offer obeisances to Krishna. He couldn't. He just stood there. And in his mind he offered obeisances to Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu did not tell Bali Maharaj, I am giving you this benefit because you offered your obeisances within my within your mind. He didn't say that. He just gave it to him. The planet of the Sutala Loka. And what does Bali Maharaj say? My dear Lord, when you came, he had tears in his eyes. He says, my dear Lord, I did not offer obeisances to you. Simply within my mind I offered, and just see the benefit. The benefit is so great that the benefit is almost like someone who's very highly elevated soul when he does devotional service to Krishna, and which I have not done. Simply offering within my mind, you have given me so much of benefit. Therefore, bhakti or devotional service in the bhakti yoga process, we see how that Krishna consciousness or attaining the consciousness of God is extremely easy. The Lord makes it easily accessible. There are no difficult rules or regulation, as we are discussing. Just offering little flower. If you read the 9th chapter of the Gita, the verse number 26 and 27, they are so sweet. Krishna says, Yat Karoshi. Can you imagine? Yat Karoshi means he is not putting any restriction. Yat Karoshi means whatever you do. Yat Karoshi, Yad Ashnashi. Whatever, whatever sacrifice, whatever austerities you perform, but it begins with Yat Karoshi, whatever you do. And then if Arjuna is confused, but Krishna, tell me what exactly I should do. If somebody gives you such a liberal explanation, are kuch bhi karna hai to karo, chalega. Some people need clear explanation. You tell us what to do. So Arjuna kind of, when Krishna is so liberal, whatever you want to do. Then Krishna says, okay, if you don't, then listen, patram pushpam phalam toyam. Little fruits, little water, little leaf. I remember one devotee. He said, you offer it to me, Krishna is saying, then I will eat it. And twice in this verse, Krishna says about actually eating. Like one devotee many years back, he was sharing his experience. He told me this story, which had happened 30 years back. A very insignificant incident which had affected his heart. And when he told this story to me, so many devotees tell you so many stories. And some stories you reflect, you recollect, some stories you forget. And some stories, they just stay in your heart. You never forget them. And I've told his story n number of times. When he told his story, he had tears in his eyes telling this story. This was in America. He was traveling in this bus party called Radha Damodar bus party. They had this many buses and they had Radha Krishna deities in the bus. And they called it Radha Damodar because when you are traveling in the bus, you have to, protect the deities. So to protect the deities, they would tie the deity with ropes. And that's how he got the name Damodar. So they gave the name Damodar, that means one who is tied, so that they are safe. So when they would travel, and sometime they would stop in this housing complexes and they would do their morning puja. And this devotee was offering puja. This very person who was offering puja, he was telling this story to me. And he offered the incense, he offered the lamp, and he had flowers to offer to the Lord. And suddenly from nowhere, when he started offering this aarti, one American child, maybe 3 or 4 year old boy, he came there. He was amused to see, that somebody's, you don't offer, he had never seen toys being placed in one place and somebody offering incense and lamp, shining toys. He had never seen like that. And a bell is being rung and somebody is moving, waving his hands with his right hand. This child was not many people come. So he was standing there watching. And this devotee was telling me, in one hand he had hamburger. He was eating hamburger from his left hand and glued to Radha Damodar with his eyes. And he saw. And when this devotee offered flowers, when you offer flowers to the Lord, then you take some of the flowers and place at the feet of the deities. So this devotee placed some flowers at the feet of Damodar, some at the feet of Radharani, and then he continued his aarti. And this boy was watching. When the aarti was over, he ran. He ran, must have gone to his garden, and he came back. And what was there in his hand, in his left hand? Because, sorry, he was eating hamburger with his right hand. And in his left hand, you know, you could see he had plucked some flowers along with the leaves. He came down there to the bus. He came down. Now from the ritual point of view, you know, you cannot. Right. Ritualistically, one who is a ritualistic Brahmana, he will clean 10 times before offering the flower. There may not be feelings, but at least he is doing all the cleaning. And you don't offer flowers when you are eating. What to speak of eating hamburger? No? Right? You cannot offer. But this child came down, and his devotees, when he was telling this story, narrating this story, and he took this flower with his left hand, the hamburger is there in the mouth, and he threw like this. And when he threw the flowers, and he actually had tears in his eyes when he is telling this story, he said, you know what? He said, the flowers landed straight at the feet of the Lord. He said, I can never forget that story. He said, if it can touch me, this devotee was telling, it can touch me. He said, I am so hard-hearted. He said, I don't become emotional. I am not sentimental. I am too intellectual. But when that flower landed at the feet of the Lord, he said, I was like almost stunned. He said, just imagine how much Damodar must have felt. Because Krishna is more connected to the heart of the living entity. Therefore, Prabhupada explains in the story of Bali Maharaj. When Bali Maharaj glorified Krishna, Prabhupada says, Krishna is a Bhavagrahi Janardhan. Bhavagrahi Janardhan means what? One who can understand our feeling. Externally, we may not have the clarity. We may not be clear how to worship the Lord, but if there is bhava, if that mood is there, then the Supreme Lord becomes very happy. I remember listening to this story. One devotee mentioned this story. We do not imitate these stories, because when we try to imitate, then it is not bhava, then it is imitation. Like this one cobbler. And this cobbler, you know, the cobbler have some stone in their, you see this, they have water container. This water container is made of wood, black color, like a small mini boat. And they have this rock. And with that rock, they actually give massage to the, you know, the leather through which they make shoes or, you know, chappals. So this cobbler, Samodar, he had a round rock. And every day when he would massage, when he would, you know, give a lot of massage to that leather, he would sing songs of God. He would chant, you know, folk songs, some local songs, and he would massage them very nicely. And then he would start stitching. So one day, one educated, one who knew everything about everything, especially in regards to rituals, he came down to his cobbler shop, and he said, when he saw that rock, he was shocked. Why? Because that was a Shaligram Shila. Now, Shaligram Shila being used for, you know, making the leather more flexible, which he didn't know it was a Shaligram Shila. For him, it was a rock. So he was using it, and this Brahmana came and he just gave him all kinds of curses. How can you do this? You will go to hell, you are already fallen since you are a cobbler. Now you will go to more lower species of life. You have done like this. Give that Shaligram Shila to me. I will purify it. Now how can you purify God? No. You cannot purify the Lord. So he took that Shaligram Shila. He went to his home. And he bathed the Shaligram Shila, chanted so many mantras, then he placed it on his altar. And the very night he had a dream. And the Lord came, he said, I am suffocating here. I am suffocating in your place because you are so dry. Your rituals are so dry. No? So therefore, take me back to that cobbler. I want to be in that container only. Because when he sings and rubs me on that leather, I feel such a nice massage. So again, you know, we cannot imitate artificially. It happened accidentally for this cobbler. If you try to imitate, oh, I also want to be like that cobbler devotee, so I get Shaligram Shila. Then we get the beating like how that Brahman who was trying to imitate Haridas Thakur, right? The snake charmer, when he saw Haridas Thakur, you know, perform the pastimes of the Lord, he was so mesmerized. And this Brahmana came and he said, wow, you know, Haridas Thakur getting all the glories and I also imitate. So he started imitating. And what this snake charmer did? Snake charmer took a stick and he beat him black and blue. And this guy ran away from there. Why? Because he was trying to imitate. So in bhakti, we see from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, it has to be natural. It has to be organic. It has to be spontaneous. And because it is spontaneous, it is very attractive to Krishna. And therefore Krishna, to make it very spontaneous, you know, he says in this Gita verse, patram pushpam phalam toyam. All these four things in those times at least were very easily available. Now even in Vrindavan, you don't see Jamuna water only. No, Krishna might change the verse now. Hey, no more patram pushpam phalam toyam, because it's very costly. People make money out of that also. Patra means what? Patra means just leaves. And Prabhupada specifies in the 11th chapter of the Gita, he said, if it is tulsi, much easier. Patram, pushpam, flowers, any kinds of flowers, fruits, any fruit to Krishna. This aborigine woman, when she came to Vrindavan, what kind of fruit she was offering? They were not international fruits, not our fans of mangoes. It is explained they were forest fruits, you know, berries, which are plenty. If you go to Nasik during the summer season, or if you go to this Konkan belt during the summer, there are thousands of these jamun trees and karwanda trees. You know, thousands of them. And you can just pluck those fruits. Nobody sells you if you go to that area. Now also. So this lady brought these fruits. She was doing exchange, barter system. You know, because she wanted some grain, so she brought these fruits. And Krishna, when he saw how they do transaction, he wanted to buy himself. So Krishna ran inside. He grabbed some grains. How many grains can he hold as a small baby? And he was not attentive also. So he just grabbed grains in his hand. He's not clothed also. He's Digambar. He's coming down. And then he came and gave it to this old lady, this aborigine lady. And when he gave it to her, almost no grains left. But because Krishna had given his heart to her, this lady wanted to give her heart. And she emptied the basket. Gave all the fruits to Krishna. And because Krishna received these fruits from her with such an affection, then what Krishna did? Of course he had given his heart also. And along with that, as a detail, he gave jewels also. Jewel is not the heart. Heart is different. Jewel also was given to her. And she was amazed by this. This story, we realize how, you know, Krishna is so wonderful. When our Shabari also in Ram Leela, what kind of fruit she was giving to Krishna, to Lord Ram? Ordinary fruits. You know, dry berries. And some people say she was testing and giving it. Some people say she never tested it. It doesn't matter whether she tested or not. She gave with love to Lord Ram. And Lord Ram took that out of love. And he was very happy. Similarly, in Mahabharata we see when Krishna came as a peacemaker. Now what could Dhritarashtra offer to Krishna? And compared to that, what could Vidur offer? Nothing. So when Krishna came to Hastinapur, in fact Dhritarashtra had booked a 5-star hotel for Krishna in the form of the palace of Dushyasan. He said, please have a very good arrangement, let Krishna come. and stay in the palace of Dushasan. Now, can you imagine, will Krishna ever stay in the palace of Dushasan after having all that background? So then he said, also cook 56 items for Krishna. Actually, Mahabharata explains. And he said, get best of the clothes from China. No, the word China is mentioned in the Mahabharata. You know, yeah, you can read it. He said, you bring it from there. And he said, you just satisfy Krishna as much as possible so that we can change his loyalty. Just see, that Dhritarashtra and party wanted to buy Krishna. Nowadays you can buy anybody, you can buy the prime minister, you can buy the president, you can buy the loyalty, anything can be bought. Like I was reading a book, Krishna Chandrapu had sent one article called What Money Can't Buy. Very nicely written, What Money Can't Buy. And if this person who has written the book, he knows about India, he can tell what you can buy in India. You can buy darshan, you can buy abhishek, no, you can buy puja for the Lord. Even the pujaris, if they want to offer puja, like when I went to Pandharpur one time, you know, I talked to the pujaris. I saw the pujari, you know, after the main aarti was over, whenever people come to take darshan, the pujari grabs the head of the devotees and he stucks it to the feet of the Lord and he says, paisa lao, give me money. So I said, why do you do like this? You know, people will stop coming to the temple. If you all do like this, that if you are forcing people to give money, and in this way you feel that, okay, you can actually get blessings of God. I said, most people will not want to come. He said, what to do? You know what? He said, for me to perform this puja, he said, I'm doing this puja, I've got this puja to do. He said, because there is a bidding every day by the government. Because these temples are controlled by the government. So there is a bidding. What is the bidding? That the pujaris, they make a group. 5-6 pujaris, they make a group. And the government, you know, the officer comes and he does bidding for a week. And based upon whoever gives more money, 1 lakh rupees, 2 lakh rupees, 3 lakh rupees, whoever gives more money, and the government gives that sanction, that authority for them to worship, and they have to pay advance money. He said, the government makes money on our behalf. Nobody chastises, nobody says anything to the government, but we become condemned. The pujari was telling. Same thing, you know, before the government took over in Andhra Pradesh, the Balaji temple also, there was no such system that, you know, you book 3 years before for this special puja. And if you read this book, I was thinking, my God, there is a greater corruption. If you should, I should supply more information of India, that you can buy God also in India by paying special darshan. How can you buy it? It is not possible. And at least, what does it do? It actually destroys the whole concept of affection towards the Supreme Personality of God. And at least devotees should try to avoid as much as possible in trying to, you know, the whole pleasure of standing with other devotees. You know, if you go to Balaji's temple, like in Tirupati, in Udupi, that system is not there. And we can't. We can only buy material satisfaction. I got to have a special darshan. But did Krishna give darshan to us? Therefore, one devotee was mentioning, when you go to the temple, don't come back and tell how you got the darshan. He said, no. He said, what can you see? As Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, what can you see God? He said, when you come and stay in front of the DT, it is nothing but eye massage is happening. Some people take leg massage, but this is eye massage. He said, what can you see? He said, you behave in such a way that Krishna wants to see and reciprocate. Therefore, the culture is, when you go back to your home after visiting a temple, visiting a holy place, you ask, how was the Lord? How is he doing? How is he doing the work of, you know, protecting his devotees, nourishing his devotees? So that's what you should ask. Because only when he is pleased with you, your life is satisfied. So therefore here we see that bhakti in Vrindavan, the concept of devotional service in Vrindavan is a very simplistic one. It's a very simplistic one. And therefore when we do something to Krishna, when we offer something to Krishna with love and affection, then Krishna becomes very happy. And if there is no flower, if there is no fruits, if there is no water also, then the when the scripture says, then you can do sankalpa in your mind. Somebody says, if you don't have money to offer to God, then give your heart. That is there. Therefore, a flower is also called as sumana. Sumana means good flower. Kumana means bad flower. And sumana also means a clean mind. And kumana means bad mind. So just see, the very flower denotes that fresh flower and fresh mind, or bad flower and bad mind. So what is important? That offering that flower of our mind to Krishna with affection. And therefore Krishna performs these beautiful pastimes to make our mind sumana, to make our mind very auspicious, where we appreciate Krishna, we appreciate His glories, we appreciate His liberal attitude. You know, when Draupadi, when she came in this difficult situation, wherein her robes were being removed by the Dushyasana and party. Now, this was the first tried gang rape, and happened in Delhi only. So there is a bad history. And unfortunately, you see that all this, whatever discussion people are having, in the land of India, nobody is seeing from a spiritual perspective. Unfortunately, it is naturally disgusting what happened to that girl. And unfortunately, most people, at least whatever came in the newspaper and whatever young people are discussing, we say, yes, we should discuss from a legal perspective, social perspective, and then material perspective. From every perspective has to be discussed, but nobody ever discussed from the spiritual perspective. Nobody discussed. What is the culture of this land? In fact, it is explained why Krishna, whatever happened to Draupadi, you know, she had to cry tears. It was nightmare. And why Mahabharat war took place? Usually we say Mahabharat war took place because it was a fratricidal war. From an external point of view, it was a fight between the Pandavas and the Kauravas for who would occupy the throne. This is the external story, but the internal story was apt punishment for what the Kurus did for Draupadi. One Vaishnava commentator says that what happened to Draupadi in regards to in the palace, right in the palace, in the presence of great people, there were people like Bhishmadev who knew all the scriptures. There was teacher like Dronacharya, there was like priest like Krupacharya, there was Ashwatthama, there was Dhritarashtra, there were Pandavas, everybody was there, and they allowed this to happen. Nobody was doing anything. In fact, our Dharma Shastra, they mention, you know what Karna said? You know, the Karna told Duryodhan, after all, she's a prostitute. She's a prostitute, bring her down and let her be naked. Now Chanakya Pandit explains in Niti Shastra, now just see, and this is also there in the Manu Samhita, he says even a prostitute should be given respect. Just because she's prostitute doesn't mean that you bring her in public place. So even that what Karna spoke is a criminal act. But nobody, and unfortunately if you see, that most men and most women, those who read Mahabharata, they do not sympathize with Draupadi. This is a problem. They sympathize with Karna. So why will not such things will happen? The very people who are condemning this, if you see from a spiritual perspective, nobody ever sympathized with Draupadi. They sympathize with Karna. In all the languages, whichever book I have read, it's very strange. They said, no, you know, she deserved what she got. Very unfortunate. Nobody ever condemns Karna, so much of sympathy for Karna. Even women, for that matter. If you ask, whom do you sympathize, Karna or Draupadi? They say, no, actually, you know, she got it because that's what she behaved with Karna in that palace of illusion. So Manu Samhita says, even a prostitute should be respected. What to speak of a respectable woman? Calling her like that, you are a prostitute, should it be dragged naked? And nobody said anything. Bhishma Dev and Draupadi asked, he kept quiet. Arjun was the favorite disciple of Drona, and she is going through, he's not doing anything. Right. And nobody is protecting her, and therefore when Draupadi called for Krishna, it is said, her tears, when she called for Krishna, helplessly calling out, those tears, Shripad Madhvacharya explains, those tears, those water coming from her eyes, were more purifying the water of Ganga. Krishna experienced greater satisfaction in seeing the tears in the eyes of Draupadi. And he took a vow when he came down. He said, I take a vow that anyone who was involved, apt punishment, no court case, no lawyers, you know, no evidences. He said, I will do it. When Draupadi asked Krishna, why you did not come at the right time? You should have come before. And Krishna did not say, you know what? You should understand. Bhakti means total surrender. I test my devotees very strongly. You know, sometimes we see that we try to escape ourselves. If somebody is suffering, you know, what can be done? Krishna is testing you. As if Krishna has no other business only. All the time he has an exam paper for everybody. Test for you, test for you, test for you, test for you. He is not a bad teacher. No, that all the time is testing his devotees. Here when Draupadi raised this question to Krishna, Krishna said, sorry. Now the Lord, he doesn't need to say sorry. But just to attract the heart of Draupadi, he said, I am sorry. I was engaged elsewhere. I was not able to come back. And in fact, it is explained when Krishna is going back to the spiritual world, one of the regret of the Lord, he said, I was not able to come at the right time to protect Draupadi. You know, the Lord was feeling like that. Just see the heart of the Supreme Personality of God. You know, He's God, He's great. We talk about His greatness, we talk about how He punishes, we talk about how precise His punishment is. You know, people only talk about, oh, why God is doing like this, why God is doing like that. But nobody talks about how God regrets. So Krishna is regretting. And what did he say? He said to Draupadi, I will take right action against all of these people. And therefore the entire battlefield of Kurukshetra took place. To punish those people who misbehaved with Draupadi. And the question is raised, come on, but even Pandavas were party to that. They should have done something. They were also keeping quiet. Why Bhima, who is such a powerful personality, why did not attack? He should have given up his life protecting Draupadi. Arjuna should have given up his life protecting Draupadi. Yudhishthira Maharaj should have given up life protecting Draupadi. Like Jatayu gave up his life trying to protect Sita. Why they could not do? Is it not partiality that Krishna killed Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Dushyasana, Draupadi? Why not? So this devotee poet says, the protection came to the Pandavas not because Krishna is partial to them, because that would give more pain to Draupadi. That would give more pain to Draupadi because they were connected to Draupadi as husbands, therefore they received protection. Otherwise they were also equally responsible for not protecting Draupadi. Just see, this is the land which, in fact, scripture explains, if anyone does any abala, you know, like anyone who makes children cry and women cry, he said, Lakshmi will leave that house. What to speak of, you know, doing such an action? Manu Samhita says, you know, he said, if somebody makes them cry, of course they cry for some time for no good reason also. So then why make them cry for good reasons? No. Why make them cry? So why harass those who are unprotected children? He said, the reaction is, Mahabharata explains, those who exploit and those who are exploited, when they cry tears, he said, in that very tear, the exploited people will be drowned to death. Means I'm talking from the symbolic point of view, they'll be drowned to death. So this is how Krishna deals. So the very Supreme Personality of Godhead, he came to Draupadi, simply she had nothing to offer. What was there to offer? When her clothes were about to be removed, there was nothing to offer. There was no water, there was no fruit, there was no vegetable, nothing to offer. So she fails in Krishna's demand, patram pushpam phalam toyam. None of these four things are there. So what she did? She offered little water, tears from her eyes. And she called out Krishna's name. In the name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. All the four things are involved. Flower is there, fruits are there, water is there, and then leaf is there. All the four things are there. And with the Harinam, the fruits, flowers, and water is there, we can offer that details also. So in this way, see, this entire concept of offering flower, in fact, Prabhupada explains, you know, we are going to celebrate this festival. How we started this celebration is also very amazing story only. No, not many temples do celebrate this festival. It happened spontaneously. It's a very, very local festival. Don't try to make it global. No. It's a very local festival. It happened here only because in 1990 there was a riot. Big riot. And because of that riot, people who were, you know, fighting because they were arguing about my God, your God, even though God is only one. God must be confused, you know, what is this? My God, your God. Everybody is fighting. And because of that fight, you know, some people who were selling the flowers very close to our temple, they got scared. They realized that, you know, here their population is dominated. Something will happen to us. So they came asking to our head pujari. He said, we have a lot of flowers and we will give it for a very cheap price. He said, please buy them. A lot of rose flowers and other flowers were there. And the pujari said, okay, let us buy them. And he bought all those flowers. And then he went and told Radhanand Maharaj. Maharaj said, okay, let us have Abhishek for the deities. No, that's how it started. No. So in this way, Krishna used a situation, not that he created the situation. Okay. He didn't create the situation. Situation was created by the people. And Krishna, utility is the principle. You know, so God is very good in utilizing the principle. Utility is the principle. He took it and he allowed his devotees to think. And from then, this festival has been a very important festival for our temple, wherein we offer flowers to the Lord. And as Prabhupada explains, flower represents the smile of the Lord. When we see a beautiful flower, what does it mean? It is a smile of the Lord. And unless Lord smiles at us, and when we experience the smile of the Lord, the Bhagavatam explains that this material world, unfortunately, is a world of limitless sorrows. We are drowning in the ocean of sorrow. And what is the solution for it? The solution is that how much can we swim? How much can we swim? We can't cross this ocean of sorrow on our own. Somebody has to come. And when Lord smiles at us, when he smiles at us, what does it happen? It has the power, Bhagavatam explains, it has the power to dry the ocean like sorrow. So such a nice description, Prabhupada says. Flower is the smile of the Lord, and flower also represents, when we offer the flower at the feet of the Lord, just like that boy offered that flower at the feet of the Lord, that indicates offering our heart. Hanumanji can actually give his heart, open his heart and give it to Lord Ram. We should not try to do it. And we can't do it also. So Krishna says that offering flowers at the feet of the Lord indicates giving our heart. You don't need to break your heart. When you offer that flower to Krishna at the feet, Krishna will assume, oh, this devotee is offering his heart to me. And then showering flowers at the crown, at the head of the Lord, is like celebrating his victory. Because Lord is called as Vijay. Vijay means one is always victorious. During the battlefield of Kurukshetra, somebody asked Arjun, he said, you will have Indra in front of you, you know, holding all his weapons, guiding you, fighting for you. You want Indra on the one hand, or you want Krishna, who will not fight, but he will be on the background. Whom do you want? So Arjuna said, I want Krishna. He told this to Yudhishthira Maharaj, I want Krishna, because he said, wherever there is Krishna, victory follows behind Krishna. So therefore, I want Krishna only. Even if Indra and others are not there, it doesn't matter to me. If Krishna is there, because his vijay, wherever he is there, victory will follow. And that's what Sanjay also said. Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanuradhara. My dear Dhritarashtra, wherever there is Krishna and wherever there is Arjun, certainly there is highest of the morality, prosperity and victory is guaranteed. So therefore on this occasion of this flower festival, Pushya. Pushya is not flower, Pushya is a nakshatra. No, and tomorrow is that constellation, Pushya Nakshatra. And one Brijbasi was telling me yesterday, he said, this Pushya Nakshatra is very auspicious. Extremely auspicious, and Prabhupada explains during the Pushya Nakshatra, on the Pushya constellation, he said, devotee should bathe the Lord nicely, because this is the time when the winter becomes less. And Krishna will again start going out for performing his pastimes. And for that, he should be given nice eatables, nice bathing. And then decorate Krishna with plenty of forest flowers. And therefore, when Yashodamai would send Krishna to the forest of Vrindavan, she would decorate Krishna so beautifully. But when Krishna would go into the dense, in the deep forest, what he would do? He would take all these wild flowers and berries and fruits. So decorating Krishna with fruit is also bona fide, Bhagavatam explains. Sometimes we see for Shyam Sundar, for Madhav, they use small berries. And sometimes they use, you know, cherries also. Sometimes some devotees use grapes also. And some devotees are unbona fide. Nothing is unbona fide. Especially in regards to offering fruits and flower, because when Krishna would come to the deep forest, then he would take all kinds of flowers and then flower buds and then fruits and cover his turban, and some devotees, some cowherd boys would make nice garlands for him, and that would satisfy him. So therefore, flowers are flowers, fruits are fruits. They can't be matched with any other jewels, ornaments. And especially Krishna, because he's the Lord of the forest of Vrindavan, he loves offering beautiful flowers to him. Now what to speak of 1,000 kilo? No. Today I think 1,000 kilo flower will be used for bathing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because it is available. It is plenty available. It doesn't cost so much. You know, much less than what people spend on decoration during their marriage for flowers. Sorry, but it is allowed, no doubt. But here, not even, nobody can question, oh, how can you throw flowers at the statue? I remember, I'll conclude with this, that in sixth standard I heard a poem in Hindi, and I didn't like it, and therefore I still remember it. Something which is very strong you remember, which is not liked, or you like it very much, like this story of this child throwing the flowers. And this one, when I didn't agree that this poet is writing, he is acting as if he is a flower. He said, main ek fool hoon. Or he's saying, I'm a flower and my desire is that why people pluck me from my tree or a plant or a bush and they put me in political person's neck or they place me in the cremation ground or they place me in the statue of the temple. He said, it is all waste. Let me stay on the tree and continue to be beautiful. I said, this is nonsense. He said, I didn't like it. Why? Because even the flower, as Bhagavatam explains, wants to be utilized. When you are not being utilized, that is the death of life. That is the death of life. Everybody wants to be utilized, not abused or used, but want to be utilized for good reason, including a small dhruva grass, a small flower, or a small fruit. Just imagine some farmer spends entire season to grow fruit and you just throw it. Can you imagine if that fruit had a consciousness? The fruit said, come on, I grew so nicely, so patiently being on the tree for so long, being exposed to the weather, and you are not even using me, just throwing it for no good reason. So therefore everybody wants to be utilized, and especially when it is, when we are being utilized for the higher and higher cause, then we become grateful. As we were discussing, bhakti means performing service to Krishna with gratitude. So therefore here, you know, we are playing a part in this entire process of pleasing Krishna on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. Therefore he came, Srila Prabhupada came down, you know, to preach Krishna consciousness, to create that facility for all the living entities, that your life is a burden if you are not being used for others, and that other person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and be utilized by that other person. Praner artair diya vacha. You know, whether with your life, whether with your words, whether with your intelligence, whether with your resources, whatever you have, whatever you don't have, if you can offer something to Krishna selflessly with gratitude, then these flowers certainly, you know, will give us limitless pleasure. And that's what we will experience today evening, and offering that flower with love and devotion. In this way Krishna is happy, and ultimately Krishna will give us more happiness. How can we give happiness to Krishna? How much can happiness we give? We are so insignificant. But in reciprocation, we are trying to make Krishna happy. In reciprocation, when Krishna makes us happy, then the symptom, how we will become happy in this whole process, can only be experienced, cannot be explained, can only be experienced when we take part in this festival. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Grantharar Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Pushpabhishek festival ki, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari.